Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We are fixing to do some podcasting.
Yes, we are. And I am pumped because March Madness is right around the corner.
That's Charles Barkley. I'm Ernie Johnson. Welcome to the Steam Room, everybody. Thanks for being a loyal steamer. Thanks for checking us out. Thanks for being back with us.
Hey, you know, I want to thank all the people. You know, last week we didn't have a guest. We just answered a million phone calls.
Yeah.
Guys, I want to and girls, I just want to thank y'all for calling in. It was really one of my more fun segments because you want people to listen to the podcast, obviously, but to take the time to call in, I just want to say thank you. It was incredible last week, all the calls we got. You know, Cap probably don't do it himself. He probably has somebody. He'll have one of his underlings go through the phone calls.
You're referencing Michael Kaplan, our outstanding producer, aren't you?
Outstanding. Be throwing big words around.
Outstanding is not a big word. It's just an appropriate word to describe Michael
Kaplan. It's got a lot
Michael
of letters
Kaplan.
In it. It's just like legendary when you talk about Chubby Kylie.
Yeah.
I mean, just stop using big words.
More on TK still to come.
Hey.
It was a fun show. Today we do have a guest, and you'll be hearing from Andy Katz, college basketball insider.
Insider, aficionado. Oh,
see, now who's throwing out big words?
Well, at least you didn't call him an expert, because that's no
such thing. I know my audience.
Okay. you called our audience dumb?
No, you being my audience.
Okay, oh.
Because when I say expert, you always jump on
me. Can somebody
get
HR on the phone?
For what?
Calling me dumb.
I didn't.
You say you know your audience. I said, do you call the audience? I said, you call the audience dumb? You said, no, I'm calling you.
No, I was referencing you. And
y'all heard that, didn't you?
Okay. Does anybody in here disagree with me? Who disagrees with
listen,
me?
Listen, you see how they're laughing?
Yeah.
Because I called you out. I called the Godfather out on the podcast.
You try that again. Hey, first of all, let's go.
You know, we talked about the Alabama situation a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, the Brandon Miller situation.
Now
yes.
We got the Jalen Carter situation at University of Georgia. I just want to say this. I don't judge these college kids because I never want to play God or act like I know or act like I've never done anything stupid in my life. But, man, I just want to tell these young kids, parents, talk to your young kids about decision-making because, when you're young, we all do stupid stuff. I've done stupid stuff, but, man, sometimes there's some repercussions and that you can never come back from. We've lost three kids, and I'm not here to judge anybody's guilt or innocence, but somebody played a hand in these things, and they were all young kids. And I challenge all the parents out there to talk to your kids, say, hey, you're going to make mistakes. That's part of being young. But some decisions are life-threatening,
life-altering, yeah.
And, man, I just feel tremendous sadness. We've lost three young people. I just feel sadness because I've seen all these things on television over years and parents talk about, man, there's nothing worse than losing a kid. And I just want to tell our audience, and especially the kids, if they're listening to their parents, man, the decisions you make, it's a big deal. And my heart goes out to the University of Alabama. The young lady who passed away, got killed, and the young lady at Georgia and the football player at Georgia. I feel for their parents and their family and their brothers and sisters and their friends. Parents, talk to your kids. Stop trying to be their friends. That's the biggest problem. You know, just keep your, just let talk to your kids about, hey, every time you make a decision, it can change everybody's lives forever.
No, it's, and when I look at that weekend in Athens, and you think about the reason they're celebrating is back-to-back national championships. Here's a parade. Here's everybody smiling. The party continues. Let's go out and celebrate. And then it's, and then it ends in tragedy in the wee hours in the morning. And it was
heartbreaking and avoidable. But but that actually helps my point. I'm so glad you said that. Like, one moment is celebrating the greatest accomplishment in school history. And 10, 12 hours later, two lives are changed, two families' lives are changed forever. And now Jalen Carter, who's number one on Mel's big board, he got to answer these questions. And I hope, I don't know what happened. I've seen the videotape of people telling him to get out of here, which makes things not look good. And I don't think he's going to go to jail, but man, I hope he used this as a learning experience. Same thing with Mr. Miller in Tuscaloosa. So man, young kids, make better decisions.
And I would say that to the young kids, and again, not trying to sound like the 66-year-old man, but when something like this happens, it has to impact you to the point where you say, I'm not going to put myself in that situation. I'm not going to let that happen. You know what? We're not invincible.
Yes.
You know, you can't look at that and say, boy, that was horrible. Of course, it will never happen to me, because that's what everybody thinks. Well, it happened there, but it wouldn't happen to me. But decisions.
Yeah.
Decisions.
Oh, a couple more things. Ja Morant.
Again?
Yeah. Apparently he punched and pulled the gun on a 17-year-old kid.
This was this summer or
this
something.
This summer. Yeah. And I don't know what's true and what's not true, but we had the incident to have at a game recently, and we said, yo, man, you and your friends got to grow up and not do this crazy stuff. Yo, I don't care where you grew up or who your friends were, man, you're not that guy anymore. You're one of the best basketball players in the world. You got a lot at stake every single day of your life. And like I say, I don't know what's true, what's not true, but if you punched a kid and pulled a gun on a kid, this is the second thing that really, like, yo, man, this is real life we're dealing with right here. Somebody has to sit him down, whether it's dad, whether it's the team, and say, yo, it's time for you to grow up and just be one of the best basketball players in the world.
Agent. Representation. Just
a grown-up.
Yeah.
Grown-up. Like, yo, man, you're one of the best basketball players in the world. You're probably going to make $500 million to $1 billion in the next 10, 15 years. And you're out here punching teenagers and pulling a gun on them. You can't do that. You come on, man. Your friends, quote unquote, can't be pulling a gun on the other team because they're harassing you. They banned his friends. I'm like, man, who are you hanging out with? It's crazy. I just don't get it.
And we've talked about that same thing a few weeks ago.
Yes.
So. But bears repeating.
Yes. So the last thing, I want to give a shout out to this guy because I've said this before. He's the best player I played against in college. The best player. His name is Leonard Mitchell. He went to LSU. He would have. I tell people, he is singularly the best player I played against in college. I know everybody want to talk about Bowie, Turpin, Georgia. Dominique was terrific. Dominique's in that conversation too. But the best player I played against in college is a guy named Leonard Mitchell. And he got hurt in college and never made it to the NBA. And I just want to tell it, man, I wish you nothing but the best. You got the raw end of the stick when you got hurt in college. And I got a text from a friend of mine, Stefan, told me he had his leg amputated. And I just wanted to wish Leonard the best. You were a hell of a player. You've had some bad breaks. But, yo, man, I just want you to know I was thinking about you. Leonard Mitchell, a great – I mean, obviously Shaq is the greatest player to ever come out of LSU. But Leonard, I tell people, man, if this kid hadn't got hurt, he would have been amazing and special. So shout out to Leonard Mitchell.
Well done, Chuckster. Yeah. Shaq better than Pete Maravich?
Actually, no, he's not. Pete Maravich was a better
– I mean, there's some great players coming out of LSU.
Way to let America know about your age. So I actually apologize to Pete Maravich and Bob Pettit because they were better college players than Shaq. Shaq, I mean, obviously was put on a great – but strictly from a college standpoint, way to go, old man. I mean, Ernie.
Yeah. Just trying to keep you in line here.
And, I met Pete Maravich one time. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And I've seen Mr. Pettit, obviously. So shout out, Leonard. You're not the best player from LSU.
But the best one that Chuckster
the
faced.
The best one that I faced.
There you go. See, that's still good.
Shout out to the great, late, great Pete Maravich and Mr. Pettit.
There you go.
And big fella, I'll see you tonight. I hope you feel better. Hope your little sniffles are over.
Oh, yeah, that was a concern. But I saw him on the air the other night. Look good. Tuesday night.
Well, you mean look good. You mean feel good, not look good.
Well,
there's
whatever.
A difference.
Hey, Andy Katz coming up next.
Yes.
Dog my cats. Boy, Chuckster, when you hear that music, that CBS NCAA basketball theme song, doesn't that get your blood pumping?
Ernie, I am so excited. Because, you know, now this is I got one more week of NBA. But the cool thing about it, like next week, I'm not even going to be paying attention to the NBA because all the tournaments going to be going on.
That's right.
And I tell people, there's nothing that can screw up March Madness. It is one of the highlights.
Not even us.
Not even us. Not even us. It is the most. It's so awesome, man. I cannot wait.
We get to work with some great folks few weeks, and one of those guys is Andy Katz, who I had the pleasure of working in the studio with during March Madness,
yes.
And he joins us now. Andy, how are you, kid?
I'm doing great. Always a pleasure to be in the steam room. I always feel some sort of zen when I'm in here.
And you remember the only rule of the steam room, right? Keep your towel on.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
And first of all, that zen feeling you're feeling is me getting you a low-cal bracelet in the state.
Or vice versa.
Vice versa.
All right. So for us, you know, we've been kind of, you know, we've been up to our necks in the NBA, and then we're kind of ramping up and getting ready for this thing. For a guy who is up to his ears with college hoop all year long, now you've gotten to this point. You've gotten through all those non-conference and then the conference schedule and all the – these are the bubble teams and these are the projected. So where do we stand right now in your mind, Andy? Who are the top four seeds?
Well, first off, I know Charles likes to sometimes, you know, look at who's favored, who's not favored. And this is going to be really interesting because the studio set – I really want to find out how you're going to define upset, because I don't think there's going to be many of them in the traditional sense. There's going to be seed upsets, and I don't know how, you know, what the lines will be and all that, but so many of these teams are pretty close. And, you know, for example, a Kentucky, a Duke, even if Carolina were to get in, which I think they will ultimately, they're going to be seeded to the way they played, not to their talent. So if Carolina's a 10 or an 11 or some crazy number like that, yet look at the talent, and then they were up, and let's say they beat a 7, you know, Creighton or something like that. You would think, oh, that's an upset. It's a 10 beating a 7, but it's really not because of who's actually playing in the game. But that's where we are, and I think that we're going to see really there are so many different schools, more than I can remember, that have a legitimate shot to get to Houston because there's so much competitive equity, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, but here's the deal. About 20 minutes ago, I asked you who your four number one seeds are. Are you going to answer that at some point?
Yes, I am, because that hasn't changed. That has not changed based on overall, to use the NCAA word, the body of work. Alabama, because they won the SEC. Purdue, because they won at least a share of the Big Ten. Unless Houston completely falls flat and loses in the first round of the tournament, I don't see it. Houston will be a one. Kansas is going to be a one because they're going to win the Big 12, and the Big 12 has been the best league. The only school outside of those four that maybe could knock one of them off would be UCLA. If UCLA were to beat Arizona this weekend and then win the Pac-12 tournament by beating Arizona again, I think UCLA could make a case. Is it over Houston? Is it over Purdue? Maybe. Probably not over Alabama or Kansas. But so I'd say there's five for four, and I would say UCLA is probably going to be the top two in that grouping.
Well, the two best teams I've seen this year are Alabama and Houston. I'll be totally shocked. Well, not shocked. The Alabama situation, man, it is it's curious, sad, interesting, whatever word you want to use. Because I said 2 months ago, and everybody's like, you sure? I said, Alabama, I've seen Houston. I've seen Alabama. I've seen Purdue. Marquette is really, really good. UCLA got a terrific coach. He's one of my two or three best in-game coaches in college basketball.
Coach Cronin.
But from a talent standpoint, Houston and Alabama are the two best teams I've seen all year. But what Andy said earlier, I 100% agree with. All these teams, I think Houston and Alabama have separated themselves a little bit. But I don't think there's going to be many upsets. I say, if Alabama and Houston are not in the Final Four, now that's an upset. But there's no other team that I've seen this year. I'm like, yeah, that team, they could lose to a lower seed. Purdue is interesting because they're the only team in the league. And they are the Minnesota Timberwolves of the college ranks. They're the only team to put two big guys out there. Every other team plays like the NBA plays today. It's become a three-point shooting contest. And if you make a bunch of threes, you're going to win. But Purdue, they're old school. They're the only team that plays big. My only question with them is, are those big guys going to dominate enough on the offensive end to make up for the lack of ability on the defensive end? Because they're not going to be able to guard those three-point shooters. But can they make up the difference and dominate? But I agree with you. North Carolina's going to be a lower seed, but they're going to probably beat somebody because they pretty much got the same team they had last year that played for the national championship.
No, they do. And it's crazy, Ernie. One of the big storylines that I don't think really any of us thought could happen, and it really can, which is that Kansas could win back-to-back titles.
Yeah.
After everything that they lost, it'd be the first time since 2006-07, and here's KU about to win the best league in the country. I mean, every game in the Big 12 is just an absolute battle. And, they got a chance to play in Des Moines and then Kansas City, so they'd have a great path to get to Houston. So that's going to be a big storyline. I mean, Jalen Wilson, he flirted with the NBA, went to the combine, came back, and he's one of those rare guys. A lot of times these guys come back and they don't improve in terms of their draft stock. He definitely has. He's a big time scorer. So, I mean, that's another, that's going to be another storyline that certainly we're going to fall in. And look, if Houston gets there, they're going to be hosting the Final Four.
Yeah.
And so right off the bat, that's going to be a road game for whoever has to play them in the semis.
I love watching Jalen Wilson. I love his game. I love his polish. I think he's a great player. I think he'll be a player in the league. But Zach Edey gets, all of this player of the year, he gets the majority of that.
Yeah.
Chuck, how do you see it? I mean, and when you look at Zach Edey play, and again, we're not saying that a guy's value is only on what will he do in the league.
Yeah.
But what will he do in the league?
It's interesting, Ernie. 10, 15 years ago, he would have been a lot easier to evaluate. But the way the league is today, there's not – we only got two centers in the NBA, Joker and Embiid. I'm trying to think, okay, Karl Anthony Towns, but he's actually the stretch four. You could put Gobert out there, but he's not much of an offensive player. I think it's going to be interesting. He's going to have to go to the right situation because I think about guys who I played against who are Hall of Famers. How would Patrick Ewing do today? How would Mark Eden do today? I'm trying to think of some other guys. I don't like Moses Malone. My dad, one of the greatest players ever. How would he play in the NBA today? So that's one of the reasons I did not like the Jazz trade, the Timberwolves trade. But I'm like, okay, Rudy Gobert is he's a good player. Karl Anthony Towns is a good player. But
how do they fit in these
days?
How do they fit into
this situation today? And so I feel the same thing about Zach Edey. I says, man, he can play, but how is he going to factor in against these stress fours? Or and even Embiid is going to shoot threes.
Yeah.
And Joker shoot threes. And they're the only two legitimate centers.
First of all, he's just scratching the surface. I mean, he only started playing, sort of beginning of high school. He was a hockey player, a baseball player, then became a basketball player. He's a basketball player playing basketball because he likes it, not just because he's tall at 7'4". He's a really good free throw shooter. He's becoming a better passer. He doesn't commit fouls. I mean, he almost never fouls out. Yes, had he been born, 20 years earlier, compare him against Greg Oden, like that draft. Do you remember that draft? Oden went one and Durant went two. Would Edey be in the top three that year? Probably. Not 20 years, but almost 20 years ago. Obviously, the game has completely changed. But I got to believe if he goes to the right team, and it's funny you say Joker because when I was talking to, the Purdue people, they kind of look at Denver as the place where they think he could actually be a success. That he's got to go to the right place, whether that's first round, second round, doesn't matter. He's got to go to the right franchise that will definitely use him in the right manner.
Who are the best players in the country? Who are the best players in the country not named Victor Wembanyama?
Who are the best players in college basketball?
Yes. Look, we can go down this rabbit hole or not, but look, Brandon Miller is one of them. No question about it.
Stop there, Andy. First of all, okay. My personal opinion, I think he's the best player in the country. But I want to ask this question. How do you think Alabama has handled this situation?
I think whether we were at Auburn, Georgia, where I went to Wisconsin, you could teach a course on how not to handle a crisis because I don't think they've handled it well. Nate Oates, for example, and it amazes me, and this happens all the time in sports, where coaches are not prepped before they go to a news conference. And it's such an easy out. All you got to say is, the discipline is handled by the student council, the president, law enforcement. And that's your out. And yet he didn't say that. And he also, the wrong place, wrong time, which he then amended at later, horrible comment. Obviously a woman's life was lost, a young mother. So right off the bat, back in January, I think they could have handled this much better. And maybe what's the big deal until everything settles out, you get all the information down. Hey, you were just at a scene, whether you knew you were driving this firearm or not. Let's just take a few days off.
Yeah.
Let's settle down, get everything figured out. And by the way, nothing usually good happens. I mean, I sound how old to say this, but it's true. I mean, with my kids, like past midnight, 1 a.m., a lot of things are not good that happen in those hours if you're out and about. And as you guys know, especially you, Charles, when you played curfew, I mean, there's so many other ways that a player would be disciplined for being out at that hour, regardless of what occurs. And so it baffles me that nothing was done, zero. That's not going to bring her back or nothing or anything like that. But it just it amazes me that zero was done to just, you know, diffuse the situation. Let's settle down. Let's gather all the facts until we know everything. You know what? Just sit for a little bit. It's January. Who cares? And that wasn't done.
So because you know, I've been asked this question 1,000 times in the last week and a half to 2 weeks. I says, at a minimum, they should have said, okay, because I don't think there's a right or wrong answer about suspension, to be honest with you. I says, I would have said, hey, I want you to take a couple days off so you can realize the magnitude of what you did and what happened. Because like, just basically for me, I says, hey, take a time out and says, we don't have to get in specifics legally, morally, or whatever, but clearly you did something wrong. I want you to take some time off to say, hey, you know what? I got to make better decisions. That's what, and you hear it perfectly. There was actually nothing done. And now we left it. And see, this is the one thing we can never do in sports. Leave it up to the mob. Now it's fans and media. Now we're at the mercy of them right now. And that's the one thing you can never do, especially when you're wrong. When you're wrong, you got to admit you're wrong and try to make amends or whatever. But the one thing we can never do is leave it up to the mob. And I think that's the situation that's happening now.
Well, so let me ask you this. In the NBA, if you, whatever rules that a team would have, if it's within the confines of practice in the game, that's the coach. If you do something off court, off court time, I don't think the coach handles any of that discipline. Am I right?
Yeah, no. Like Adam Silver with discipline, like it's so. That's a great point. The SEC should have stepped in because. Listen,
or the AD at Alabama, yeah, right? You step up and say, "Hey, look, Nate, I'm going to take hold of this. We have a situation here, and
it's a bad look all around."
Yeah, and the optics have gotten just worse and worse as time has gone on. And if you're observing from the outside and you say, "Oh, okay, now look what Alabama's done." If they had done this from the jump, and said, "Let's sit down. Let's take a week. Let's do a real thorough investigation, and then I think the public sentiment is they take this seriously.
Yeah,
they realize.
Well, and also go back. I mean, there was a player on the team who was arrested.
Yeah,
he didn't fire the gun, but he was arrested and has been charged. So even at that moment in mid-January, you have to believe here's someone who was in our locker room, who's now been arrested. That has to affect everybody.
Yes.
You know, to where you'd say, you know what, let's just settle down and take a step back. Cause it's this, you know, this all could have affected us in various ways. You know, there could be counseling, whatever. You don't know how it affected each individual person, but it just seemed like they just kept going.
Well, the reason they kept going, like how my original question is, I've watched all the quote unquote player of the year candidates. There's nobody got more talent than Brandon Miller. Nobody I've seen this year. I mean, he is, because I specifically, when the first news broke and they played, I think it was South Carolina, and they were chanting, lock him up, and they booed him every time he touched the ball.
And he scored 41.
I watched the entire game. I said, I want to see mentally how he handled getting booed every six, because I want to see it on the road, because obviously you're going to get cheered at home. I said, I'm going to sit here and watch this whole game. Ernie, first of all, that was a career high, 41. But I was watching a kid play. I'm like, wow, he's special. He is. I was like, that's an NBA move. He made 5 to 7 NBA moves. I'm like, that's not many NBA players. He made a couple moves where he shot left-handed floaters, which obviously he's not left-handed, but he made one to send the game in overtime, one to win it. I was like, yeah, a regular college player can't make that play. So that's one of the things that I was concerned with. I'm like, man, Alabama, he's the best player in the country, in my opinion. That's why they're not doing anything.
Yeah, so this – and this – just talking about what he's able to do kind of dovetails back into the conversation that we were having about best players in the country. So you give me a handful, Andy.
Well, and last question thing on that, I'll be interested to see how the SEC votes next week. Does he win player of the year? Does Nate Oates win coach of the year? You know, yeah. That will be telling to see what happened within the peers of the SEC, because he is the best player in the league, you know? So does he win the award? We'll see. So obviously him, Zach Edey, you know, can't ever dismiss Drew Timmy. This is college players, not NBA. Drew Timmy from Gonzaga. Jalen Wilson, we mentioned. I love the 1-2 combo. They didn't play well the other night, but when they're on, Trace Jackson Davis and Jalen Hood-Schifino, and you will be talking about Jalen Hood-Schifino because he's a next level guy, both at Indiana. So those guys right off the bat. In terms of a really good college player who's having a great year, you mentioned Shaka Smart and Marquette. Tyler Kolek could be the Big East player there. He wasn't even all Big East preseason, and they're having a great year. You know, the best story you could argue in college basketball is Keontae Johnson from Kansas State.
Yes,
if everyone remembers, when he collapsed, had to be resuscitated. He was at Florida. That was in early 2020, pre-pandemic. And he's come back and had an all Big 12 year. They're really good. So he's going to be discussed quite a bit. Jaime Jaquez. I know we butchered that name a couple of years on the air.
That's right.
Jaime Jaquez.
Hopefully it's ingrained by now.
Hey, Andy, I hate to bring this subject up, but obviously it's the elephant in the room. Where are we at with name, image, and likeness? You think has it been positive? Has it been negative? Or we don't have enough feedback? Where are we at on NIL?
And along those same lines, now you got a new NCAA president, Charlie Baker, who's already taken over. So now, what is he faced with, and does he do something about NIL?
I don't think he can.
Well, I mean, what, NIL's just here in its present form? It can be modified.
It's going to be interesting, Ernie, because the toothpaste is out the tube. I don't think we're going to be able, because these kids, they like getting paid. I don't think he can come in and say, yeah, you guys ain't going to get paid anymore.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, hey, we kind of opened the floodgates. We didn't just open the door a bit and say, let's see how this works. It was like, hey, swing to open the doors and let's go.
Yeah.
I think he's got to organize some, I'm not saying, hey, always throw a committee at it, but there has to be discussion here and there has to be a way 100%. To look at this and say, hey, NIL is here. But how can we make it better? How can we make it so it's not run amok?
The main issue they want is for him to try to get federal legislation, because 50 states, not all states allow it, but there's different rules in every state. And that's a problem of what you can do in each particular state. So that's why you can't have just a new NCAA rule, because an NCAA rule does not override state legislation. So that's why it's got to come from the federal government. Whether or not they can ever agree on anything, I don't know. I think, Chuck, I'll tell you, I think it's actually been good for college basketball, because what we're seeing, and ultimately I think for the NBA in a indirect way, because we're seeing players who now in certain cities, and Drew Timmy's a good example of this, are making more money staying in school than they would as a potential second round pick or a two-way guy, or maybe to some extent overseas. And so we're seeing teams that are going to get older, stay older. And I think we're getting a better product in college basketball and in March Madness. Now the transfer portal, that's another matter, because there's so much turnover every year and different guys are playing, you know, 3-4 schools over the course of their careers. That's a bigger elephant in the room, I think, of how you get a hold of that. But I think NIL actually has been good for the guys who are, you know, not locks for the lottery and, you know, are coming back to school because they can make, you know, obviously pretty good money by continuing to play college basketball.
Well, so number one, I hate NIL and the transfer portal. Let me tell you that right away, because I think it's going to hurt competitive balance in the long run. But to piggyback, the transfer portal, not only do you have to recruit new recruits every year, now you got to recruit your own players every year. You know, especially if you're on a bad team, if you're a really good player, no matter what sport it is, teams are going to try to cherry pick your players every year. What do we do about the transfer portal? I mean, I'm not going to mention this kid's name. He's been in four schools the last 4 years. He's a quarterback. Started at USC. I don't want to mention his name, because then he goes to Georgia. Then he goes to West Virginia. Now he's at Rice. I don't think that's what the transfer portal was for.
No, I mean, that's not the, you know, educational mission, obviously, at all. Look, but we're going to be, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be talking a lot about players this season, and you're going to have to reference where they were. I just did a Xavier Providence game, and Suli Boom was at UTEP. Now he's the leading scorer at Xavier. They're really good, and it's because of him. And so some transfers have worked out great, and others have been a complete miss. I mean, Ohio State's transfers, they haven't panned out. They haven't given them the pop that they thought they would. And yet there are other schools that the only reason they're going to get a high seed is because they've got a transfer who's making a major impact.
So let me ask you a question about the NIL thing. So the quarterback at Florida, who it didn't work out, and I forget where he went. How in the world could Florida promise that kid $13 million before he stepped foot on a university? I just, Coach Saban just spoke at a luncheon, and he said, and this is my biggest problem with all this stuff. He says, yeah, some kid asked me for $800,000, and another kid asked me for $500,000. They've never set foot in Tuscaloosa. He says, there's no way in the hell I'm going to give y'all $1.3 million and y'all ain't never came to practice. Y'all never been to Tuscaloosa. But the point I want to make about this quarterback, who I guess he's a stud, they had promised him $13 million. How can you justify giving? Freddie, you don't even know if he can play. How do you justify that?
That's the gray area. That's the problem. Because technically, they're not supposed to do that. That's a third party or a collective. That's the key word now. They're supposed to provide that. So, but we know that's not the way it happens. We know in recruiting, obviously, hey, I want to come to your school. What can you do for me? Oh, I want to stay another year. What are you going to do to keep me? We know all that stuff happens. I'm more interested to see also, though, what happens when, you know, donor X, whatever, sets up $500,000 to this player. This player is not playing. He says, I'm out of here. I'm not transferring. Now the coach goes back to that same donor indirectly and says, wait a minute, you know, I got to get this guy. He says, wait a minute. I just gave this guy $500,000 and he's gone. Now you want to come back again? That's where I think in the, you know, over the next year, 2 year, 3 years, we're going to see some of this start to dry up, because these big money guys in all these college towns, you know, it's not an endless supply, and they're going to get really frustrated.
Let me just tell you something. Charles Barkley, I'm like desert. I'm like water on the West Coast, very scarce donor now. I'm like, yo, man, I'm not paying all these players to come to my school. Like, we have to win, win, win. I'm very honest. I would do anything for Auburn. But I'm not – I've told them, I say, hey, and I've done it before, and I'll do it again, but you're not going to have unlimited access to my money. So your point is well received from my point of view.
Let's wrap things up, Andy, with – and this has been great talk about the state of college hoop, college sports, March Madness. A couple of trivia questions for the Chuckster, because I know you know these.
Okay.
Well, how you know he know these?
Because he's Andy Katz.
Okay.
And he knows them all.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right, here we go.
Okay. If Kansas, he referenced this earlier, if Kansas repeats.
Florida.
If Kansas repeats.
Florida.
They'll have to beat Florida in the championship?
Nope. Your question was going to be, who's the last team to repeat?
When was it?
It was Horford, Noah.
When was it?
Yep.
2003.
6 and 7.
Oh. 6 and 7.
Yeah. Smart guy.
03 was Carmelo in Syracuse. Yep.
What now? Okay.
Oh, damn, I told you.
Damn, man. Andy,
that was impressive. He's Andy Katz.
Come on, he's Andy Katz.
Don't test him.
I can't believe he pulled Carmelo out 2003. Good call, Andy.
Multiple choice. Final Four weekend in Houston. Which of the following headliners of the March Madness Music Fest is the Chuckster most excited to see? Lil Nas X, Tim McGraw, Keith Urban, Little Big Town.
Wow.
Haven't we seen Little Big Town before at the...
I don't think so.
Yeah, I thought a few years ago.
I think that was Lady Antebellum.
I don't know. Lady A.
I don't know if he likes country music, so that's a hard one for me.
You can also weigh in.
Hey.
Because you'll be out and about. You're Andy Katz.
Is Keith Urban going to have Nicole with him? Kidman?
Which Nicole do you think I... Of course, Nicole Kidman. I don't know.
Okay, so...
Maybe she's shooting a movie.
You know what?
Tim McGraw would be my choice.
I was going to say Tim McGraw because I met Faith Hill before, and she is one of the coolest.
All right, I'll confer with that. I'm not a huge country music guy, but I'll go with that.
Andy, for some reason, I'm on a country music kick right now. So I'm going to go with Tim McGraw.
Okay.
And hopefully Faith will be with him.
So, Andy, that begs the question. So what kind of a music fan are you? You're not a country guy.
I go, for me, old school rock would be U2. I've seen them probably more than any other band. I don't know if you'd say they're in the same genre, but same era. I would say U2 and Prince probably would be my top two.
There you go.
You know what you should do for your wife? You know U2 is starting a Vegas residency. Did you know that?
I did see that.
Yeah. You should. That'd be a fun time to take her out to Vegas. I'm pretty sure I can hook you up with tickets because I just...
All right, because we for our anniversary a couple years ago, we saw U2 in Montreal.
Yeah, you know, one of my really good teammates from college, a guy named Mark Cahill, I wasn't a big U2 fan. He took me, and I'm actually playing for the Sixers. That's how long ago this was. He says, hey, he came to visit me for the weekend. He said, you got an off night. Let's go see U2. I'm like... I've heard a couple of their songs. It turned into one of the more fun nights of my life. U2 was awesome. Had a great time. I'm going to go see them in Vegas.
We're there.
Them and Adele. I'm going to go see both of them.
I'll go there. I saw Adele Madison Square Garden. I'll go.
Yeah. Oh, you're a big concert guy. Look at you, Andy. Well, you know, that's no surprise because he's Andy Katz. Thanks for being on the Steam Room, man. It's always good talking to you. Look forward to hanging with you during March Madness. You're a good man. Appreciate you.
Appreciate it. Keep your towel on.
Yes, sir. Take care, my brother.
Oh, now you remind me.
How do you get Carmelo from 2003? That was pretty good. He's Andy Katz?
Yeah, he's Andy Katz.
That's
man.
Pretty good, though. Yeah.
Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Come and join us in Steam Room. Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Leave your towel on in Steam Room.
Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Leave your towel on in the Steam Room.
Ooh, it's time for Chuck's answering machine.
Man,
here in the Steam Room.
So silky smooth voice.
Mine? Thank you. 404-987-0330. 404-987-0330. If something's on your mind, you got a question for Chuck.
That's impressive. You normally look at your card.
Not anymore.
I know.
Four seasons in, I've got the number to the Steam Room right in this trap.
Let me ask you a question.
Am I going to want to hear this?
Yes.
Okay.
How many actual phone numbers do you know?
That's a good question. A handful.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I know.
I mean, I know Cheryl Ann's and Eric and Maggie.
By heart?
Yeah.
Wow.
See, that's only three, and I know my own.
I actually, I'm not even joking right now. I don't think I know a single person's phone number.
See what phones have done to us?
Hey, I know.
It's just by name. I know.
That's crazy.
Kinda, yeah. Like if you're filling out a form for somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's like emergency contact.
You have to look in your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Do you have a home phone still?
Yes, but it never rings.
Yeah.
I know if it rings, it's like one of those people trying to sell me something or trying to scam me.
Why don't you just get rid of it?
Well, because sometimes I need it when I do radio shows. Because, like, sometimes cell phones got bad reception. That's the only reason.
Such media savvy on your part. Yeah. Hey, first call, go.
Hello, world. This is Charles Barkley. Leave me a message.
Hey, Charles, how you doing? I'm a big fan of yours from Spain. I'm a big fan of the NBA. I just wanna ask you for some Hakeem Olajuwon stories. Like, you all play together. I'm pretty sure you got some of those. And I know you are honest, and you're gonna keep it like it is. So I trust your judgment. I trust your honesty. Thank you, man. Keep it up, guys.
Got a good Hakeem story?
Yeah. First of all, he's really a great person. I really enjoyed playing with him. I wish we could have played together when we were both old geezers. He made me really appreciate his religion, which is Islam. You know, a lot of people talk about religion, but they don't live it. I admired the way he carried himself. Like, there'd be times we were practicing, he had to stop and go pray. And I was like, wow, that's like, I wouldn't stop practice myself, but I admired that. I love the fact he wouldn't touch other women. Like, I want to introduce him to my mom and dad, my mom and grandmother one time, and they put their hand out, and he says, I'm not allowed to touch other women. I was like, wow, that's like, he actually lived his truth. He's a wonderful man. I really enjoyed playing with him. Like I said, I wish we could have got together sooner, but he lives his truth, and that's the best thing you can say about a person.
Next call.
Hey, Charles and Ernie. It's Frank from Charlotte, North Carolina. Just wanted to reach out and let you know how much I appreciate this podcast. I'm a middle school English teacher, single parent, and also now taking care of my mom with Alzheimer's disease. A lot of dark days, but you guys give me respite. Ernie, I remember several years ago meeting you at Southeast Emmy Awards dinner and you telling great stories about what a pain in the butt Charles can be and laugh so hard. And Charles, I lived in Philadelphia for many years and remember you playing there. My question is, Charles, why do you keep going back to Philadelphia every summer? I lived in Philly. It's a nice place. But with all your money, man, I can think of a lot of other places I'd love to spend my summers. Thanks again, guys. Have a good day.
Well, as you know, my fascination and with teachers, man, I just want to thank you for being a teacher, especially a male teacher. We need more male teachers. We need more black male teachers. First and foremost, I just want to thank you for being a teacher. I admire teachers. I mean, I just got so much respect. You know, Ernie, one thing I love about your daughter, Maggie, is her being a teacher. And
yes.
Yeah. I mean, you're a lowly sportscaster.
Finalist for Teacher of the Year in the state of Georgia a couple of years
Don't
ago.
Don't you feel bad that you're a lowly sports guy?
Yeah,
and she's like a teacher.
I've always said I'm a sportscaster like my wife, Cheryl Ann's a world changer. I'm a sportscaster.
And your dad was a Marine.
Yes, he was.
And you soft.
Soft because I'm a sportscaster?
Yes. Okay. S-O-F-F-F-T, soft.
What branch of the military did you serve in, Chuckster?
I've been to Afghanistan.
Softy, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But number one, bless your mom, too. That's a brutal disease, but bless your mom. I'm going to tell you why I live in Philly during the summer. Saucon Valley, Marion, Pine Valley, Aronimink, Commonwealth.
All golf courses, for the uninitiated.
Philadelphia got Philadelphia Country Club, Philadelphia Cricket Club.
Hey, Forrest Gump, answer the question.
I just answered the question.
I know, but geez.
Philadelphia
jumbo
got
shrimp,
some of the
fried shrimp.
Well, that's right. Hey, okay, Michael. Hey, first of all, it's 120 degrees in Phoenix. It's too hot to be in Phoenix. I live in Philly for the golf. Plain and simple.
Next question or call.
What's up, fellas? This is James from Virginia, and I'm a black snowboarder. For the past 13 years, me and my boys have been snowboarding all across the world. So this year we went to Vail, Colorado. Typically when we get a cabin, we like to have a hot tub there, but we couldn't find a place with a hot tub. So we had to go down the street to this racket club place where they had a whole spa. And not only do they have a hot tub, but they have a steam room. I've never been to a steam room. And I got to tell you, Chuck, it's everything that you've advertised. I went in the steam room. I was in a sauna room. I was in a spa. It was just amazing. So with all that, my question is, what is the proper steam room routine? I was just overwhelmed, so I was just doing everything. Thanks, fellas.
Well,
steam room routine.
I never understand the fascination with outdoor cold weather sports, whether it's snowboarding or skiing. I don't understand why people want to do stuff outside when it's cold. So obviously I got a little blind spot to anything that's cold. The steam room is probably one of the most important aspects of my NBA career and in my life. I spend, like, just to unwind, I sit there at least 30 to 45 minutes a day just to chill.
Are you supposed to be in there for 45 minutes? I thought some of those things said, like, hey, 20 minutes.
Oh, no, that's nothing to do. Come on, Ernie, stop it. I do a lot of stretching in there as I've gotten older. But the main thing.
When's the last time you were in a steam room?
A couple of days ago.
Okay.
Yeah. I was shooting Subway commercials yesterday, the day before. But I just sit in there. Well, Ernie jokes about this.
What?
No. Can I tell what I'm going to say first?
Yeah.
Damn, it's sensitive today. What's wrong, Ernie? You already called me dumb. You had the crew laughing.
Okay.
Okay. It's 100% correct to keep your damn towel on, okay? Ernie jokes about it, but do not be naked in the steam room.
What if you're by yourself?
No. First of all, there's other guys. It's always great if you're by yourself. But there's nothing more annoying when you're in the steam room, people just standing around naked the whole time. Keep your damn towel on. That's annoying. Keep your towel on.
So is that pretty much the only rule?
That's the only rule. You can stay in there as long as you want to. I like to stretch in there.
I don't think you're supposed to stretch around You got other guys in there.
I'm glad you brought that up. If you go in the steam room, go to an opposite corner. Don't sit right beside somebody. That's annoying as hell. Like, yeah, man, this is a big-ass steam room. Yeah. You have to sit that close to me?
Has it ever been so steamy in there that you couldn't really see and then you sat maybe too close to somebody else moved down?
You can see enough.
Steam rooms.
No.
I've been in steam rooms where, man, it's like, that's thick.
Yeah, but I've been in those too. Even if it's foggy and you can't see, if you notice you're close to somebody, move your ass over.
Mm-hmm. With your towel on.
With your towel on.
And don't be doing stretching. Nobody wants to see you doing stretching in a steam room.
Well, first of all, if you do stretch, you put a towel on your body.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be a freak. Don't be a freak.
Here comes the last call, thank God.
Hi, Ernie and Charles. My name is Paco. I'm 17. I'm from Hong Kong, currently studying in the UK. I'm a loyal steamer, and I've been listening since 2019. You guys have inspired me in so many ways. Ernie, I've listened to your audiobook twice, and I've started to look forward to my BlackBerry moments in life. How you direct the show and your calmness, your poise, I've been trying to implement that in my leadership nowadays. Chuck, you mentioned in an episode a while back now on how effortless yet meaningful it is to call up the people that you care about and show how much you respect them. I called one person every day for the entirety of July last year, and has strengthened my bonds with friends across the world, and I cannot thank you enough for that. You guys both motivate me to study hard every day and even encourage me to co-found my own podcast called Sustainapod, which is all about sustainability and climate action. My question to the both of you guys is, when things are going really, really rough and you feel really tired or gloomy, how do you guys continue to put on a smile for others and make other people happy? I'm not sure if this will make the podcast, but I really thank you both for inspiring the next generation, and I hope to meet you guys someday. Thanks so much.
Wow.
Thanks to Paco. That's tremendous.
A couple things. Number one, I forgot to say earlier, thanks my man for calling from Spain, one of my favorite places in the world. And I want to go to Hong Kong. Paco, when I speak to young kids, when I'm speaking to college kids, I talk to college teams all the time. And I always tell them, it's called self-esteem. Not what Harry, what Susie, what these other idiots think about you. You're never going to be at peace unless you're happy with yourself. That's why they call it self-esteem. If you live your life worrying about what other people going to say or think about you, you're never going to be happy because everybody's not going to like you, no matter who you are. So you can't worry about making other people happy. You got to be happy yourself. But secondly, it's only two things I hate about life. Number one, you don't know when you're going to die. And the only reason that bothers me is I want to make sure I tell everybody in my life, thank you, who helped me along the way. Because there are so many people in my life who have helped me get to, I just turned 60, but going back to my high school teammates, my college teammates, my high school coaches, my college coaches, every coach about in the NBA, all the guys I play with, there's so many people who have helped me, and some of them probably don't even know it. So that's the only thing I hate about life. So somebody going to get a phone call one day and say, Chuck died. I'm like, but I hope that I try to reach as many people as possible to answer your question. And the second thing is, I hate you don't learn all this good stuff till you get old. Because you think about all the stupid stuff you did in your life. If you could take a 40-year-old Charles Barkley and put it in a 20-year-old Charles Barkley brain, you're like, man, can you believe all the stupid shit I've done? And you're like, those are the only two things that bother me about life. You don't learn all this good stuff. It's like when I talk to parents and kids, I say, hey, man, because I always ask, when I speak to parents and kids, I say, aren't your parents a pain in the butt? And every kid raised their hand. And the parents are mad. I said, well, I got a point I'm trying to make. I says, let me just tell you this one thing about your parents. They're going to get a lot smarter as you get older. You're just too young and stupid to understand and appreciate. You think they're trying to bust your balls. They're like, no, we're trying to stop you from doing stupid stuff.
Yeah, one of the great things about being a parent and that point comes where your kid's a little older.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of sitting around having an adult conversation. And all of a sudden it just comes out like, I know now what you were trying to do.
Especially when they got kids.
And I understand it. And it's like, thank you. You made my day.
Yes.
And Paco made my day too. And I appreciate you, Paco, listening to Unscripted a couple of times. I appreciate that. It was a joy to write it. It was even cooler to do the audiobook, to read it, and love all the reaction from folks. And here's the other thing. How do you stay, I think he asked, so how do you stay positive? Or look, you can't always stay positive. And I think I've learned a lot. I've been reading, actually been listening to the book called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Beep.
Yeah, really?
Which is a bestseller. New York Times bestseller, and one of the things you learn is pain is part of the process.
Yeah.
You know, and we all are going to go through stuff. There's not a soul who's immune from that. We're all going to have things in our lives that are really tough. But then it falls into your lap as to how you're going to handle that. And I think that's how we, you know, that's how you do it. I think there's no magic formula for it. There are certainly going to be days where, you know, it doesn't have to be some false, hey, everything's fine.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just admitting, look, right now, my life sucks. And I've had a lot of those days over the last year and a half.
Yeah.
But then it's a question of, okay, now how are you yourself going to handle that?
Yeah.
And do it in an honest way and not a Pollyanna, oh, no, everything's great. It's fine to be down.
Paco, I have a very strict rule, to be honest with you. I have a very small window where I can be upset or sad. Because one day turns into two to three to a week to a month to a year. Like, bad, Ernie had a great point. Bad shit happens. But it's up to you how long you let it linger. You cannot let it linger long. Like, I've lost two brothers, my mom, my dad, my grandmother, the most important people in my life. And I was like, my friend's like, yo, man, you're all right. I said, yeah, I'm all right. They're like, dude.
It's okay not to be all right.
Yeah. And I says, yo, man, I was upset, but I can't let it linger because I got to keep going. So, yeah, Paco, it's all right to be upset. We all go through crap, but you cannot let it linger because what it does, it messes up your life. Like, when bad stuff happens, you have to handle it, but you got to go on. And the longer you let it linger, you're like, you're not accomplishing something. You are making your baggage, I call it baggage. Like, how long do you carry the baggage? Because you got to let the baggage go. You got to drop your bag off and keep going.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
Hong Kong.
There's a lot of ways we could go on that.
Yes.
But that's, I think those were good. I think that was good.
Man,
Paco,
Brazil,
thanks, man.
And Hong Kong.
Yeah, he's from Hong Kong, studying in the UK. 17 years old, something like that. Got a podcast.
Man.
We should be on that podcast. Hey, he sounds like a guy who's got a good podcast.
Hey, man, forget all that studying. Get your GED, Paco. I'm just joking.
And on that note, thanks so much for
Paco,
listening.
That's a lot of studying,
to the
Paco.
Steam Room.
Get
we appreciate
GED,
you, loyal steamers.
We do appreciate y'all. Thanks for the phone call.
Yeah. We'll see you next time.